This is Sustainable Long Island with co-producer Tony Ernst. I'm Francesca Rhiannon. The importance of growing native plants and pollinator-friendly gardens has been all the buzz lately. Amidst all the terrifying news about the world, from climate chaos to insect apocalypse, these practices give ordinary folks a way to actually do something that helps our suffering ecosystems. They can transform our lawns and exotics-dominated gardens from pretty but poisoned to sustainable havens for birds and pollinators, habitats that also sequester carbon. Today, we feature Rewild Long Island, a nonprofit whose mission is to work with communities to protect and improve the biodiversity, resilience, and health of regional ecosystems by adopting sustainable landscaping practices centered around native plants. Rewild Long Island's founder and board director is Raju Rajan. This week, I spoke with Rajan and with Annie Yao, youth coordinator of Rewild Long Island's summer program. Here's our conversation. Raju Rajan and Annie Yao, welcome to Sustainable Long Island.
Hey, thanks for having us.
So we have you here to talk about Rewild Long Island. And first, I just want you guys to tell our listeners about yourselves. Raju Rajan, you are the board president.
Hi, Francesca. Nice to be on your show. I'm Raju Rajan, and I'm one of the founders and president of Rewild Long Island. We are headquartered out of Port Washington, New York. We have four chapters across Long Island and growing. And we focus on sustainable landscaping. And, you know, I can talk a little bit more about that, but I'll have Annie introduce herself. Annie?
Sure. Hi, I'm Annie. I'm an 11th grader at Great Neck South High School, and I was an intern for the 2022 summer program and came back as a student organizer and mentor for the 2023 program. I'm super involved in my school's environmental clubs, and I'm just really excited for any opportunity that'll come.
Oh, that's great. And so I want to ask both of you, we'll start with Raju, what brought you to working with Rewild Long Island? What in your background brought you here?
Actually, there was nothing. I'm a technologist by profession, so I've always been an avid amateur gardener out in my yard. For a very long part of my gardening career, I just did the usual stuff, which is grow everything from, you know, tulips to hydrangeas to roses to tomatoes and potatoes. But a few years ago, I got an opportunity. Actually, we moved to the suburbs into Long Island, and that was the first time I really had a suburban yard. And I was really struck by the amount of land we dedicated to grass. Also, right, restrictions on actually having cattle that could eat the grass. So I always wondered, why is it that we keep growing this grass and cutting it, throwing it away? Instead, I thought, hey, why don't I do a native wildflower meadow? Or why don't I do a meadow? And the resources available to do that were very scarce. And I kind of looked around. I chanced upon somebody who said, hey, you could rototill your yard and put native perennial wild seed into it, and that'll give you a meadow. So I did that. And I never looked back since, because that was just such a spectacular opportunity, just sprung to life. I saw all these beautiful, you know, dragonflies and moths and butterflies and bees that I had never, ever seen in this country as an immigrant before. So I was just struck by the amazing beauty and the diversity that I saw in Long Island. I was like, wow. and looking further into it and then collaborating and working with other people in town, we decided that, hey, we need to make this more available, more accessible. And that's how Rewild Long Island was born. And that's how I got involved with it.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. And Annie, what brings you to Rewild Long Island?
Well, in some cases, my story is a little similar, as in I used to live in an urban area in Queens, but grew up near a park. So it was really important to me that when I moved to Long Island, that I could continue connecting with nature and having fun with it. I joined the environmental clubs at my school. So when I was there, one of my teachers, Miss Bryden, she brought up a flyer about the Rewild Summer Program. And that sounded much more appealing than staying at home all summer and, you know, studying or doing things that I could definitely, I think is important. But I also think that working with your hands and actually being present in the moment is even more so. And I joined along with a friend or two, and things just went from there.
So now tell us more about Rewild Long Island. What are the programs that you have? What does Rewild Long Island do?
So we are almost all volunteer nonprofit. There are main programs we do. One is we do plant sales. There is a spring plant sale, and actually there's a fall plant sale right now going on till September 24th. We make native plants available through these plant sales. And as you know, that's very important because you go to your big box stores and varieties of plants that are available to you barely include any native varietals. So the plant sales are core to our mission because not only do they help us fundraise, but they also put plants in people's hands and they bring volunteers who become familiar with those plants and then take them home and grow them. So that's one activity. The second one, which is we run a sustainable landscaping tour where we take people through a variety of different gardens. But one of the most important ones, or two other ones that we do, which Annie can talk about because she's at the heart of them. One of them is the Rewild Summer Program to fight hunger and climate change. The second program is our Rewild Gardens Program, where we provide consulting, design, and other services for people who want to put native plant gardens in their community. So Annie, maybe you could talk a little bit about the summer program and what we do.
Sure. So at the summer program, what happens is that, of course, as Raju said, it's all volunteer and it's mainly youth. So from volunteers to interns, a lot of it is high school students. And we have our own flexibility. They give a lot of trust in us and our planning that we choose the locations we want to go to, which include a diverse part of places all across Port Washington and Long Island. And then we really do organic gardening, sustainable landscaping. We do learning, a lot of nature walks, a lot of lessons. And we also have weekly Zoom sessions where we have such programs as the garden design, which was really fun. We designed our own garden with a group of the other interns and volunteers, and we're able to collaborate on such things.
Wow, that's great. Well, give us some examples of how you designed your own garden. Where was it and what kinds of plants did you put in?
So in my group in particular, we chose my school, Great Neck South, and we were hoping, well, we were planning to put in a sensory garden, which is really important because my school is particularly academia focused. A sensory garden would really provide that serene rest for students who might be a little stressed, and it would go behind the library, which is actually where one of the gardens that I started with a club last year from the Rewilds Garden Program. We were thinking of putting a lot of Joe Pye, a lot of mint, things that smell good, are pleasing to look at, or nice to touch, or just quiet in general.
And these would be native plants too?
Of course, all native.
And so you said it would. You weren't able to do that?
Well, the planning part was purely to give practice and an activity for the summer program. If I can definitely bring it up to my club this year and then see what comes of it, because of what happened last year with the gardens program already, we've already established one garden. I'm sure that if I really advocate for it, we can try to push in another.
And now I don't remember if it was Raju or you, Annie, who mentioned rewilding and food security. What's the connection between the two?
So one of the things when we talk about sustainable landscaping through Rewild, there are five principles involved in that, Francesca. We call them the crown principles. C stands for composting, which helps us add fertility into the soil. R stands for reducing waste and recycling. O stands for organic vegetable gardening. W is water, right? Watering wisely. And N stands for native plants. So these are the five elements that we want to combine in various landscapes. And these are the things that we believe will help us establish climate resilience, biodiversity, and food security. And you can see the connection, right? Like, so the organic vegetables that we grow through the program, in the summer program, for example, the students go through a variety of different gardens. Some of them are vegetable gardens. They learn to plant vegetables, grow them. They learn to compost. Then they learn to use the compost in the gardening as part of their practice. They learn to use native plants as companion plants in vegetable gardens to attract pollinators and repel pests. And all the food that we grow through the program is donated to food pantries that are local, because fresh food specifically is very scarce in food pantries. So that's one connection to food security. And largely, right, the more we grow locally, the more we are able to both harvest food for ourselves and donate that food to our community, people in the community in need, the more, you know, the fewer the food miles, the carbon miles that are associated with the food diminish, the quality of the food increases. We have fewer runoffs because we are growing these foods organically, and very often we are replacing lawns while doing that. So it has all these benefits, both to our communities, our own health, as well as the overall health of the ecosystem. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. So this crown system, give us some examples, and Annie, you can weigh in on this as well, of how planting native plants can help gardens, vegetable gardens, to grow better.
So as we know, right, like many of our vegetable gardens are pollinated by bees, right? And they, depending on the crop that you're looking at, you may have, and the flower size, everything from bumblebees to sweat bees to, you know, various kinds of bees that come in and pollinate our flowers more efficiently. Bumblebees especially are very voracious pollinators. And as you know, our native plants attract them. Just in my own case, right? And, you know, Annie can talk to the sensory garden that they're putting in as she designed as well, and what she has seen. But in my experience, the crop of vegetables that I get when I have a lot more native plants around them, it's richer because it's almost like every flower in my tomato bush, in my tomato plant, gets pollinated because there's always a hungry bee around to go and sit in it. And it's actually been shown scientifically that buzz-pollinated tomatoes and eggplants are full. Richer, healthier than ones that are just self-pollinated or pollinated in other ways. So all of this really helps. And then, you know, they also act as traps. They draw aphids and draw insects to themselves while leaving your vegetable crop, more intact and less attacked. I don't know. Annie, you want to add something to that?
Yeah, sure. So rewilding, by definition, it's to restore an area to its natural state. Of course, by emphasizing the importance of native plants, it's that it's allowing that land to once again give into its natural processes and its opportunity to enhance the resilience that has really been cultivated and evolved for the area. So what's important to us is that we not only allow this process to happen, but, you know, create more green spaces. Because green spaces and community, it brings us together. And then to know that what the work we do in those spaces then go back again into the community, it's one big circle and it's one cycle that we really hope that will continue on and on. That's really the goal of everything.
Oh, so well put. And we are talking with Raju Rajan and Annie Yao of Rewild Long Island. You're listening to Sustainable Long Island, and I'm Francesca Rhiannon. So now say a little bit more about how, you know, rewilding implies more than just a few gardens here and there. Are you working with towns? I mean, I know that here in East Hampton, Rewild Long Island's East Hampton chapter has been involved with putting a pollinator garden right on the town hall campus, a beautiful, beautiful garden that I visited last Sunday. What kinds of programs is Rewild Long Island doing elsewhere to spread the word as well as the pollinator-friendly plants?
So two things, right? So a lot of what we are doing right now, Francesca, is changing hearts and minds, right? Bringing the consciousness out there, bringing the education out there. Because the problem we have is not, it's not money. We are one of the richest, right? Nassau and Suffolk are some of the richest counties in the entire country. It's not a question of like smart people or anything like that. It's just a failure of imagination. We can't imagine our landscapes in a way that they are full of native plants, they are full of insects, they are full of wildlife, and yet they are full of like human life as well, and they provide more health. I mean, we just kind of like, we have these sterile notions of what makes for a good life and what makes for a good home and what makes for a good neighborhood, right? It's really bringing the imagination into it and saying, hey, instead of using all these like traditional lawns and azalea and rose bushes and tulips and whatever, can't we imagine a landscape which provides the same human functions while at the same time allowing all these a thriving ecosystem to flourish side by side, right? And can't we imagine an ecosystem around us where it uses less, fewer resources, does not pump as much water out of the aquifer for its sustenance, does not require pesticides, does not require herbicides, does not require fertilizers, does not require noisy machinery that is driven around and contributes even more to global warming. Like, why can't we have a landscaping around us that promotes health, not only of our communities, but also of the ecosystem as a whole, right? So that's kind of where, I mean, it's really asking that question, I think, and making everybody ask that question, I think, is right now the most important thing. And there's nobody who I think is more ready and primed and, you know, surprises than our young people. And I think I'd let Annie speak to it, but I'm always delighted and happy by looking at, you know, when we get some of the young people coming into the summer program, they have a lot of climate anxiety and worried about the future of the earth. But by pointing to the fact that, hey, you can, here are things that we can do in our own backyards and front yards and community spaces and schools and golf clubs, et cetera, right? We can bring hope and we can change things for the better. I really feel that's the message. And mentors like Annie, who have worked not just as interns, but then come back and help us organize the program, they give us a lot of hope for the future and fill us with joy. So I don't know, Annie, what is your experience of coming to this?
Yeah, I definitely agree, especially as a teenager and just being in that stage of not having as much control over your life, much less the entire planet. So being able to be given this opportunity to make climate change not as daunting or overwhelming as it can be and doing it step by step. Just one example is the garden that was initiated last year because of Rewild at my school. It's right behind the library. And a lot of students can see it through the windows or when they walk past. Before the idea was even proposed, it was not very appealing looking. It just had three shrubs and that was it. So as Raju said, it was really the lack of imagination. Now it's flourishing. It has green, it has color from flowers. And the most exciting part was really seeing all the club members and students at my school all gathered around it to start weeding and planting with tools. And I never would have really imagined some of the people at my school who I knew would be getting their hands dirty in this way, but they did and they had fun. And the most rewarding part is really getting involved by yourself and then seeing your friends get involved and then being able to collaborate in such a way that makes it really a team effort, and knowing that with teamwork and with everyone around you, every bit helps and you can do something to help contribute to the solution.
Wow, that's so inspiring. Say a little bit more about, you know, how working in this project of rewilding and working at your school helps to process or deal with climate anxiety. I mean, I know I've been having a lot of climate anxiety since 2004 when my granddaughter was first born, and I really wondered what kind of world she was coming into. I can only imagine how difficult it must be for people who are facing their whole lives ahead of them to deal with this. So I wonder if you might share with us a little bit more of that process of climate anxiety and how rewilding helps you.
Of course. It's definitely frustrating at times, especially when really a lot of the biggest change can lie in adults or politicians. But honestly, it's, as Raju also said, that it's the younger generation that will really pave the way. So to inspire young people like me and the people around me early is really what's the most significant and what will make the most change. It's not necessarily doing anything major. It's more about incorporating small, sustainable habits into our daily lives that will follow and influence others around us. Definitely, I think that my experience in the program specifically, it's really changed me as a person. It gave me a bit more direction. I'm very sure that for my college major, I would like to do landscape architecture. Not only does it already is suitable to what I originally like, but it's also something purposeful and I think will really be fulfilling if I do get to satisfy that wish. And I know the other interns who really are my friends now, that they're more sure of who they want to be or the things that they want to do when they grow older, because they know now that this is possible and that really there's nothing stopping them from joining a volunteer organization or just spreading awareness or making infographics. Anything little like that will definitely contribute to a bigger whole.
So as we're wrapping up here, Raju and Annie, well, Raju, I want to ask you, what's ahead for Rewild Long Island, and how can people get in touch with you? Answer the first, and then let's go out with how people can get involved if they want to.
Okay. For Rewild, right, our goal is to spread the awareness through Long Island. So definitely, you know, we would like to see growth both in terms of number of chapters. We solidly believe that the young people, that the newcomers, right, like people whose minds are not, we face this a lot within Long Island. There are folks whose minds are made up. They have lived a certain way. They expect a certain kind of landscape. And, you know, we reach them too, but, you know, some people's minds are made up, right? There's nothing you can do about it. But on the other hand, that whether it's master gardeners who've been around for a long time, whether it is avid gardeners looking, hearing about native plants and wanting to do things, if it could be the young couple that moved in from Manhattan, doesn't have like a real sense of why, you know, what the lawn needs to be, and they're looking for earth-friendly practices in their yard, or it could be students who are looking to form their career, right? We want to reach anybody whose mind is open, whose imagination is open, because these landscapes do not exist today, right? What could be, there's so much possibility, you know, possibilities are endless, and they're only constrained by what nature can dream of, which, as we know, is inexhaustible, right? So really, we are scratching the surface. So in my mind, it is really waking the imagination of Long Island and seeing what we can become, which is a lot more climate resilient, biodiverse, and food resilient. So that's really what is ahead for us, I hope. And having fun all along the way, not being, you know, bogged down by a sense of like either mission or dourness or climate anxiety, but really being hopeful each day. And that's really what gardening teaches, because every year is a new year. And even if you screwed up last year, don't worry. It's going to start over again in spring.
That's great. And how can people get in touch?
Get on our website, www.rewildlongisland.org. Scroll down to the bottom. You'll see a form. Submit the form. Join us. You'll see the plant sale on if you get there in time. Otherwise, we'll have one in spring. If you are a young person looking for a summer program, we have a summer program now in the East End. That's in East Hampton. as well as Port Washington. So please join us from the summer program. If you're somebody who's looking to start a chapter or do some activity in an area where we don't have a presence, we welcome that as well. So really, again, it's endless and only constrained by our imagination.
And about that plant sale that's going on to the end of the month, if you join Rewild Long Island, you can get a discount. Isn't that right?
That's right. If you join as a member, it's $35 per membership. You get a 20% discount. Even otherwise, you can buy. And we have a lot of like small plants. And that's what I recommend to anybody who's a new gardener. I tell them, hey, we buy all these plugs, put in these baby plants because you can buy a 5-pack, more likely to survive. And it's cheaper. And small plants grow into big plants. So don't spend an arm and a leg. Buy small plants, put them in, watch them grow.
Well, thank you both so much. It's really been terrific to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Francesca.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
This is Francesca Rhiannon with Sustainable Long Island. You've been listening to my conversation with Raju Rajan and Annie Yao of Rewild Long Island. Rewild Long Island's plant sale is ongoing this month. More information is online at rewildlongisland.org/events. Sustainable Long Island is heard on the third Wednesday each month at this time, and also on the second Saturday each month at 9 a.m. Programs are online at sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. Sustainable Long Island is produced by Tony Ernst and yours truly, Francesca Rhiannon.